We're on. Okay, two boys talking.
This will be our cold open. Mm-hmm. Dude, so this morning, I had the best morning. I went to the clinic because my ear, I was super muffled, my hearing. I couldn't hear anything out of my right ear pretty much. So I went to the clinic. I was like, something's wrong with it. And they're like, yo, it's filled with wax, dog. So they cleaned it out, and I can hear like 3 decibels higher. I cleaned both my ears, and like the biggest fucking chunk of wax came out. It was disgusting, dude.
What did it feel like when it came out?
So fucking satisfying.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's really made my, it was like the best highlight of the month, I think. Maybe the year.
If anyone below the age or below the age of 20 is listening to this, this is what happens to you after the age of 20.
Dog,
you become.
Whatever age you are, if you can't hear shit and you get that shit blown out by a big suction machine, it rules.
It slays. Yeah. We're really serving good hearing today.
Yeah, so I'm really in a good mood. I got a nose strip on too.
I noticed that. I was running our skincare shit today. Not me. I'm hooping on Mike again.
You're hooped up. Then, well, I guess we'll just start it here. This is Subgenrification. I'm Char.
And I'm Annie. And Liam has escaped.
He's gone.
If anybody sees him.
If anybody sees a naked 27-year-old man with short brown curly hair, please contact Subgenrification.
He doesn't like games.
He hates games. That's, yeah. If someone hates games.
If you throw checkers pieces at him, he runs away.
Yeah. Don't try and lure him with games. This is a show about subgenres of music, if you didn't get it from the title. Today we're talking about Chill Wave. Another funny genre. Every time I do one of these genres, I just realize how silly genres are. You know what I mean? Like, just the fact, like, how they came about is hilarious. But important. Because chill wave is a big thing nowadays.
Yeah, it was.
It was, and it still continues to be, kind of. Did you listen to much chill wave in the height of its... In the height of it?
I think when it was at its height of popularity... What was that, like 2014?
No, like 2000. Well, it kind of started dying in 2014, but it really started in like 2009.
Okay, yeah. This was like definitely my really being into music. And I think I had heard of Chill Wave, but was still like, there were so many waves and steps, you know what I mean? Like people were just throwing something step or something wave on sort of qualifier, and I feel like I never really got a clear picture as to what chill wave was.
Well, here you go. You're about to find out. I personally loved fucking chill wave so much. Mm-hmm. I was a big chill wave guy, which might be embarrassing to admit because apparently it was a bit of a cringy genre. But in like 2013, I was listening to that shit every day. Do you ever have Songza? Do you remember Songza, the app?
Oh yeah,
it was like a radio
actually.
So yeah. I put on the Chillwave Songza playlist or radio, whatever. You couldn't choose, and it just played Chillwave music.
Do you think? Oh man, it's such a bummer to find out things that you really loved were cringy retroactively. I feel like you should. It is within your right to at least know that they're cringy when you like them.
Yeah. I wish I could have the foresight to know.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's part of being a person. but yeah, I don't know. Like, the artists in chill wave, I don't know, like the, because they all the artists in chill wave, like the big ones, kind of have moved on and like are just like pretty run of the mill indie artists now, mm-hmm. like Tori Moi or Neon Indian or
I fucking love Neon Indian.
Yeah, Neon Indian slays. So they have all kind of graduated from chillwave. Mm-hmm. But I'd say the best way to describe chillwave, well, here, let's just say this first, is that, so there have been about four major subgenres born on the internet so far. Mm-hmm. I think the first one is chillwave. Mm-hmm. Really was the first one. And then vaporwave kind of was an ironic response to chillwave. Mm-hmm. And then there was like indie R&B with like The Weeknd and Frank Ocean, like the alternative R&B.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that was like alternative R&B was like, in my opinion, a really big slide downward as far as popular music quality goes, in my experience.
You mean in terms of underground popular music?
Mm-mm. Mainstream, like when the mainstream starts to take stuff from the underground.
Right.
And when all the white indie artists who used to make soft folk music decided that R&B was the direction to go, like yeah. Black Bear.
Yeah, I was never into that stuff.
That really, whew.
But you remember like when Frank Ocean like released his album on Tumblr?
Oh.
I feel like that was a pretty pivotal moment for indie R&B. Okay, true.
I mean, I do love Frank Ocean, everybody does.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
He's got Thinking on Your Ex. He's got the market on that.
So does The Weeknd, who is another one of those artists.
True. House of Balloons is a great record.
Yeah. I love that record. And then the latest one is Hyperpop.
Yes.
And I think those are the four that have, with the internet, with the creation of the internet, those are the subgenres. I mean, there's so many microgenres. Chillwave, then Vaporwave.
Vaporwave, that's the one I was thinking of.
Formed.
Vaporwave's definitely, Vaporwave and Hyperpop are my favorite.
Vaporwave kind of formed in response to Chillwave, but it started as a joke.
Well, yeah, well, it started with James Ferraro.
Yeah.
And we can get into that in a whole different episode.
Oh, dude, because Vaporwave's coming up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a heavy episode.
I do love Vaporwave, and I do fucking love James Ferraro.
Yeah, that first album, James Ferraro's weird-ass first album.
What is it, Far Side Virtual?
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, that record's fucking awesome. That, and then Macintosh Plus.
Macintosh Plus, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we're going to do a whole episode on that, and that's going to be full on. I'd say the best way to describe Chillwave is music you listened to on a summer road trip in 2009 to 2012. That's so fucking windows open.
Oh, that's so funny. It's the music you listen to on your way to do, on the way to have a really traumatizing acid trip with some people you're not that close with.
Yeah. Have like a kind of uncomfortable camping trip.
I love that.
Yeah. It's like, it's synonymous with hypnagogic pop Have you ever heard of hypnagogic pop?
Hypnagogic, yeah.
Hypnagogic?
Yeah.
Which is like a microgenre.
Well, yeah. Hypnagogic as a word just means like, just makes you sleep.
Yeah.
Like hypnotic.
And hypnagogic pop was like really, well, maybe it goes back farther than this, but Ariel Pink was like one of the main hypnagogic pop dudes.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, yeah. Wow, such a shame. Found out he was a terrible person because I really liked his music.
Yeah, I know. That one really hit hard.
Yeah. And it wasn't just that he was a bad person. It was like, wow, you're just like actually a Nazi.
Yeah.
That sucks.
All the Burger Records cancellations too, that was pretty hard for me.
Yeah. It was like one after the other.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. That's tragic.
Yeah, so Chile, like, it might have been a... I don't know, but it's not completely synonymous with hypnagogic pop for me. I think chill wave, if you want to get down to technicalities, it's a bit more poppy, and, well, hypnagogic pop is, like, more kind of experimental. Mm-hmm. Chill wave was always kind of, like, very, like, it was going for, like, a, it was trying to be, like, nostalgic. It's, like, a very nostalgic sound, right?
Mm-hmm. It was the, like, when we say, like, I'm pretty sure everyone here who's listening is probably on some level familiar with vaporwave, mm-hmm. and the corner and the way that vaporwave cornered the nostalgia sound. And
yeah.
To sort of bring some perspective into that, chillwave is just a more toned down version of that because vaporwave took it a little farther, right?
Chillwave, yeah. Chillwave was like usually included vocals, and mm-hmm. but it still was very sample heavy.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a sec. But, you know, in like the 80s, maybe chillwave would have been considered like dream pop or something. It was mm-hmm. like kind of that.
Yeah, it definitely came from like a dream pop, synth pop kind of aesthetic.
For sure, yeah.
And also like a visual aesthetic too. Like I think it's important yeah. to point out that chillwave is, its visual aesthetic is really one of the first internet visual aesthetics. That yeah. people really grabbed onto.
Yeah, fully internet-born thing. A lot of, like there was a bunch of chillwave artists. Like, mm-hmm. a few of them, like I said, graduated, but there was a bunch that just, like, had no information about themselves, mm-hmm. no, like, bios or anything. They just, like, released these songs on YouTube or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to point out that chillwave came right at the time that the 80s nostalgia craze started.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was a big part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And would you believe it? It was the term chillwave was coined by a blog, a music journalist. Actually, this
Go
guy
figure.
Was not really a music journalist, but
people with blogs aren't.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was
his blog was called Hipster Runoff.
Oh God.
And he kind of like he like had this list of names. It was like. It's like cum wave, shit gaze wave, pitchfork wave, and then he settled on chill wave, and then that's the one that
cum wave.
Like, it was like it's chill wave is such a hipster. It's like the most hipster mm-hmm. millennial genre.
Ever. Yeah, yeah, probably except for ska. I think ska takes the cake for millennials.
Shit, true that.
We're never doing a ska episode.
Ska's too big. Yeah, music blogs were huge in like 2009 when Chill Wave hit. The summer of Chill Wave, it was called in the summer of 2009, hit with artists Neon Indian, Washed Out, and Tori Ma with their albums Psychic Chasms, Causers of This, and Life of Leisure. Those were the three like major albums.
Right. When did they all come out?
Well, those came out all like 2009, 2010. But okay. Like Tori Ma got like even before his album came out, had like demos or whatever that came out in 2009.
Yeah.
Or like a single in 2009. So there's like this summer of Chill Wave.
Man, Tori Ma has been around for a lot longer than I remember most of the time.
He was like the pivotal guy in Chill Wave. Like he kind of, yeah, one of the big stars of it.
Because I only really found out about him in like 2017.
Like, yeah.
I was not aware of him at the time of his Chill Wave stuff at all.
He's really, he's done it all. He does a lot of experimenting.
Very talented artist for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, artists name themselves with nostalgia evoking titles such as Teen Days or Memory Tapes. That was a big part of Chill Wave was the nostalgia. And the anonymity of Chill Wave was like the last time an indie movement was covered by the press without possessing a social media presence. So like all these artists were pretty like anonymous, but like they were still at all the blogs just like...
That's a really interesting point actually.
Because nowadays, like, you got to have, an Instagram, a fucking TikTok, whatever.
Yeah.
The anonymity aspect has kind of gone away, which I really fucked with. I like just, like...
I like the anonymity.
I don't know who the fuck this person is, like...
Yeah. Death Grips.
Death Grips is pretty anonymous, hey?
Yeah. They've only got, like, 4 interviews.
Yeah, I'm down with that, like...
Yeah, I fuck with that a lot. Such a shame that Andy Morin is the most active one, and we all found out he's a big wiener.
Oh, is he? Because
my friend's ex-boyfriend is in a League of Legends Discord with him.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Don't meet your heroes, folks. Or
don't play League of Legends with your heroes.
Don't play League of Legends with your heroes.
Arguably the last identifiably widespread indie
widespread
indie DIY movement. I see why you're laughing. Indie DIY movement to occur this decade.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. You should cut this up. We should start this episode with a cassette sample.
Oh yeah. That's a good call. I'll just put tape warp on her vocals the whole episode.
Yeah, and put a very light band pass filter over the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or
low pass.
Yeah, and similar to our last episode about garage rock, Chillwave's artists all made pretty different variations of indie music that span different influences and whatever.
Yeah.
But they all share that dreamy, ethereal, reverb-heavy quality that led them to be grouped together as Chillwave.
Mm-hmm.
Like garage rock did with their, you know, how.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, like, give us a good song example.
Of a Chillwave song?
Yeah.
Well, a huge one is Feel It All Around by Washed Out. Seen Portlandia?
Yes.
It's the theme song of Portlandia.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Dun, 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 dun. And you know, it's just a fucking 80s Italo disco song slowed down like 40 BPMs.
Chillwave really was the original nightcore.
True. Yeah, it's just slowed down 80s or 70s pop music with like illegible vocals.
Unintelligible, yeah.
Unintelligible. Yeah, and it was, yeah, like I said, it was the first internet-born subgenre spawning a whole bunch of internet microgenres, which is just, like, too many.
Yeah, it really sort of exploded into a lot of other shit. And I think a lot of that, like, is definitely a result of the aesthetic. I think people just really gravitated to that. And the combination of the aesthetic and the sound really, like, became something else. You know, like a few years later you would have people doing chillwave from vaporwave edits to Simpsons and call it Simpson Wave.
Dude, it's if you type in chillwave in YouTube, there'll be like 2-hour mix chillwave with like 4 spaces in between of each slider.
Yeah, true. And it's all, but oh man, the aesthetic of it sort of died a little bit. It became that like washed out sort of like white music festival
aesthetic, you know what I mean?
Like it sort of lost its integrity after a little while once people picked up on it and started making like,
right,
like I don't know when exactly it died, but I, you know, more anyway,
the aesthetic. Yeah, well, let's talk about the name.
Yeah,
so chillwave was, it was kind of used as a pejorative to mock the shallowness of the genre. It was kind of like, oh, chill wave artists, another chill wave artist. It really didn't last long as a subgenre before people got sick of it. Really only that summer. I mean, it lasted like a few years, but that summer was like the height of it. And then people kind of was like, it's really like, it's a yearning for a past
that you never had.
That you never had. That never existed. Yeah. Which gives Chillwave a ontological aspect.
That's a good word.
Which is a term coined by Jacques Derrida in his 1993 book, Spectres of Marx. I want to do an episode on ontology, which is like a microgenre.
I agree. We've talked about this one too, actually.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that this is a good example of the 30-year rule, which references the fact that people are nostalgic for a decade 30 years in the past. So
is
currently,
it 30 or 20?
It's 30. It's 30, yeah. Generally. But now it's like more so the 90s than the...
Yeah.
And moving into the 2000s a little bit, but more so the 90s. And the 2010s were very much the 80s.
For sure. Yeah. Big 80s vibe in 2010.
I don't know what the 2000s were nostalgic for.
They were trying to do their own thing and they failed.
Well, they did do their own thing. I'll say that much.
Well, they didn't fail doing their own thing, but they failed at creating a good aesthetic.
You hear it here, folks. If you're born in the 2000s, Charlie hates you.
That's right. 90s babies only.
That's me.
That's me. My birthday's in 2 days, actually.
Oh, shit. Happy birthday, Charlie.
Thank you. And it's almost spook season, so happy spooky season to everyone.
Happy spooky season. My birthday is in, what day is it?
November 6th.
8th. Well, what day is it currently?
Oh. I thought you were testing me. it's the 22nd.
I'm surprised you actually remembered that.
Well, I didn't. I was pretty close, though.
We were pretty close. It's the 22nd. So, like, 10 and 6 days. 16 days. So
the sound and aesthetic of chill wave, let's get into that. It is music that is both melancholy but also upbeat to really evoke a feeling of nostalgia while looking into your computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 80s neon pop mixed with 2000s blog house, which is a good way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the use of 60s and 70s and 80s samples to evoke that Beach Boys-esque sunny California vibe. Mm-hmm. Of like, it's kind of depressing. it's kind of a depressing thing. Like, it's just like nihilistic millennials making like sample based nostalgia music with like beach aesthetics.
Yeah, like it's like you take these symbols of things that are supposed to be universally happy and then you just crunch them into like a bit crushed VHS aesthetic and throw it on YouTube.
Totally, yeah. It's really, yeah, I know. And a big chill wave scene was actually in Brooklyn, which there's no beaches in Brooklyn. that's where a lot of the chill wave people are from. And like a big part of chill wave was like, yeah, it's like VHS beach footage, like home footage beach, you know, like.
Yeah, like camcorder.
Exactly, yeah.
Cassette sample.
Like, yes.
It is honestly a very nihilistic genre in that sense.
I wrote here faux analog. That is a big part of it. Like,
it's oh like, yeah, that's true.
Everything was made on like Ableton Live. Yeah. Like we're recording this podcast, but like they use samples and like torrented fucking VSTs and shit to like make it sound like tape and shit.
Yeah, like it was on a tape.
It's all 100% digital. Ariel Pink could be considered one of the earliest pioneers of chillwave.
Uh huh.
What's his lo-fi tape damage sound? You know that Ariel Pink sound.
Ariel Pink and the Haunted Graffiti.
Yeah, that's a good one. That came out a little like that came out pretty like mid his career, right?
Yeah, that was a little later. Yeah. But it's a great record.
It's a great yeah. Panda Bear is also considered one of the earlier chillwave pioneers with his 2007 release Person Pitch.
Really? Like Panda Bear from Animal Collective?
Yeah, yeah.
Wild. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
He denies it or whatever. He doesn't want to be associated with it, but
that's really that makes more sense. That's very funny.
Even Donuts by J Dilla could it be considered an early touchstone for chillwave?
I can sort of see that, but J Dilla wasn't following any nostalgia or
no. It's like for artists to reference.
Like
it's,
Donuts came out in what, like 2000. Or is it 90s?
Like, these aren't chillwave artists I'm talking about. These are artists chillwave artists look to make, to like, influenced.
Okay, fair. Yeah, and I mean, Donuts is, like, really one of the most foundational electronic albums of all time.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like trip-hop. Chillwave shares some trip-hop elements for sure, in a way. Just, like, the
for
kind
sure.
of... But trip-hop was always very dark. And chillwave was always upbeat and like happy major chords.
Chillwave is like it refuses to let itself be as sad as the people who are making it actually are.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's like trip hop was always like very willing to like Dummy by Portishead is such a dark record. It's so depressing. It makes me fucking paranoid when I listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to bet that the people who made early chillwave stuff were on some level more sad.
Yeah. Well,
there's like a certain self-denial to the sound of chillwave.
For sure. Boards of Canada was also another touchstone for chillwave artists.
Oh, I love Boards of Canada.
But again, they're also pretty bleak.
Scottish electronic group, for anyone who doesn't
Boards
know.
Of Canada, yeah, they're big time. They use all analog instruments. Mm-hmm. Which kind of chillwave was, like I said, trying to replicate.
Check out the record, The Campfire Head Phase. I'm fairly certain, thinking off the top of my head, that would be the closest to chillwave that they released.
For sure, yeah. A little happier.
Yeah.
The Campfire, or Music Has the Right to, is kind of dark.
Yeah, Music Has the Right to Children is a darker record for sure, but still very good.
And another song to check out for a very, very early example of a quote-unquote chillwave sound is the Beach Boys' All I Want to Do, which is off, I don't know what album it's off of, but it's an album came out in 1970.
God, we know so little about music for people who have a podcast about music.
Well, come on, I know.
No, both of us. I should know what your Donuts came out in.
2006.
I see your Donuts came out then?
Yeah.
Fuck, that was way later than I thought.
I know, right? I thought it was the 90s.
The album
is Sunflower, released in 1970.
Yeah.
All I Want to Do, Beach Boys. That could be like, it could almost be like chill wave ish. Beach Boys were like, they were that 60s, 70s mm-hmm. beach. They were like the real shit that the chillwave artists were trying to like evoke. So let's talk about its time and culture and politics.
And labels.
And labels.
If there are any.
Music labels that put out the music. Mm-hmm. It was pretty label free, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Because they're all just makes released sense, shit themselves on like SoundCloud and YouTube. But labels actually played a very small part in Chillwave.
That's awesome. I love to hear it.
It's more of an independent movement. So yeah, like I said, it's kind of like a musical genre built on millennial nihilism due to the terrible economy of the post-2008 financial crisis and the non-existent prospect of getting a well-paying job for like college-aged kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that was all the kids in like 2010, 2009 making these Chillwave.
It's funny hearing about that at the time and now being one of those like... post, like, I would have been into Chillwave had I been around at that point, right?
Yeah.
But now, like, it's just settled into this grim understanding.
Yeah, we're just, yeah, it's just like...
Like, you and I are never going to own property. And we just know that.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Don't buy sushi. You got to save your money for buying a house. It's like...
I remember when people used to tell us that when we were kids, like, save every penny.
Yeah, don't get avocado toast, you fucking millennials. I know you're not millennial. I'm on the cusp. But, it's like, these Chillwave artists grew up with that shit, right? It's just like these fucking boomers telling them, like, you know, don't go out and don't... Yeah, it's like, what do you want
yourself,
to do?
Deny yourself the things you love so that you will one day be stable. And then they fucked it anyway.
All I have is sushi.
All I have is this recorded VHS video of a beach. I can't go to an actual beach.
Yeah. I live in fucking...
I live in Brooklyn.
I live in the fucking Midwest.
the famous Ohio beaches.
So here's a quote from Tom Hawking, who is a music blogger. He writes, Chill wave strikes me as hugely middle class music. Whereas punk reacted with anger and a desire for change, chill wave was a sound of escapism and resignation, particularly when there's a sense that one's hitherto easy life is about to evaporate into a haze of unpaid internships and financial uncertainty. Chillwave said precisely nothing about any of this, but the fact it chose to say nothing itself is a great deal. Says a great deal. It is perhaps an indictment of our generation that its response to challenging time involves retreating from them rather than getting angry about them. Sorry, I butchered that. But
all good. Bit of an age trader there.
Yes, he's basically saying punk music were like revolting, and chill wave. If you want to compare chill wave to punk, which is silly, but these artists were just
both genres were a response to something, right?
For sure.
And he's basically saying that punk had more inherent value because it had more to say directly, which I think is a very silly way to quantify music.
Yeah. I don't think he's criticizing chillwave. I think he's just kind of talking about how different it is. When he's just talking about how these artists are just like life is scary. I'm going to like hide in my bedroom and like make electronic music with my samples.
Honestly, fair enough.
I know, right? I think it's like the nihilistic thing I was saying, where this like these people are just like, fuck it, like we can't do anything. Like,
Hold on, do we have time for a smoke?
You want to take a break? Another quote. This one is from Neon Indian, or Alan Palomo is his real name. He says, whereas musical movements were once determined by a city or venue where the bands congregated, now it's just a blogger or some journalist that can find three or four random bands around the country and tie together a few commonalities between them and call it a genre.
Mm-hmm. That's the era that very much I think me and Charlie grew up with.
The internet era of music, right? Like, and that's what it is now. Like, since chillwave, since the internet, subgenres have, that's what they've become. Just random people from all over, not even the country, the world, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Which, you know, I can get down with. I think it's cool that, like, you don't have to be from like a super cool city like New York or LA or whatever to like,
I agree,
get your shit out there. You don't have to like be involved in like a scene or whatever. You can just like,
well, yeah, and scenes will now create themselves
for sure. Yeah.
Like there's a, you know, there's a hyperpop scene in Vancouver. There's a hyperpop scene everywhere because hyperpop is everywhere. It's ubiquitous.
Here's another one from Tom Hawking. The chillwave era will most likely be a footnote to musical history, a faint flaring of middle-class angst in a frightening time for everyone. But that doesn't mean it's not worth examining regardless, because its simple existence says far more about a generation than the music itself ever did. I think that's a good way.
I think that's actually a really good quote.
Yeah, chillwave is definitely a footnote to musical history. He was right about that. He wrote this during kind of the height of chillwave.
Yeah. What year was that?
Well, this was actually 2012 that he wrote this.
Yeah, so I guess that was like right smack in the middle.
Here we go again, but synthwave, I guess I would call home more.
I think home definitely fits a lot of the chillwave,
synthwave.
And I think is less vaporwave because there's fewer samples involved, right? Like,
yeah,
that song Decay is so fucking good.
Well, the thing with these subgenres is that they like span so many, like it was like there was, so chillwave and vaporwave start out as 100% sample based music.
Yeah.
It was like, it was almost more punk than punk because like these artists didn't know how to play music at all. They only knew how to sample.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that that Washed Out song that was like one of the most popular Washed Out or chillwave songs, he played nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. He just sang over it.
And I should probably clarify that when I say samples, I don't mean samples of instruments. Often I'm talking about samples of media, which I think vaporwave took more from than. Like chillwave was all samples, obviously. Nobody was playing their instruments, but vaporwave took that and then started editing in like snippets of 90s commercials, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it depends on what vaporwave you're listening to. but chillwave, you know, they started playing, you know, they play some synths and stuff. And then like once they got more, like I really love, do you know Tycho?
I do, yeah.
I love Tycho to this day, and you could almost consider him chillwave, but it's just like chill beats to study and relax to.
Chill beats to study and piss to.
I feel like chillwave, it really became like the YouTube chill beats to study to kind of.
Yeah, I mean, proto lo-fi hip hop.
Yeah, I guess it is more lo-fi hip hop. That's that, but I just like those playlists. Like chillwave has just become a playlist or a YouTube mix
like a
genre.
Background. Yeah, well, chillwave very much became like the OG 2-hour mix video of like random SoundCloud artists that somebody had compiled, right?
Exactly. much else to say about it. This is kind of a minor...
It is definitely a footnote in the context of greater music, but I think it's really, like that quote said, it's very important to acknowledge its existence because it marks a really big turning point in the way that music culture sort of evolved, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're good.
Yeah?
Fuck, we're only at 30 minutes, though. But
should we just have a shorter episode today? It makes sense to have a longer block of music at the end of this one.
Yeah, we can just have more music in it than talking.
It feels appropriate.
Yeah.
For it to be chill wave.
Yeah, chill. Dude, fucking chill, bro.
Well, I mean, the genre is the playlist genre, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe a recommendation to you would be to smoke a little bit of weed, have a sit down, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I'll play some more songs out to max out this hour. We are on Patreon if you want to check us out. Subgenrification. You can find playlists there.
We love you all. Shout out to our fans.
Thanks to, Annie's family, who are now my fans too, maybe more.
They are.
My fans and Annie's. So, yeah, thanks to my fans. check out the playlist I'll be posting on the Patreon later. It's accessible to everyone, but.
It'd be nice if you pay for it.
If you want to give us a dollar, you can. All right. Till next time.
Peace.
Peace. This has been Subgenrification. Thank you, CITR 101.9 FM. Bye.
The truth keeps us alive.